People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or theycpeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg with my co-host Larry.
Good morning.
Welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back here with you again.
It's crazy to think that we're already November.
Yeah, you know, it's Thanksgiving's like, around the corner.
It's like immediately. So we got Diwali coming up next week. We have, after that, it just floods into the last 2 months of the year and things fly by.
A lot going on right now.
We tend to try throughout the course of the year to really vary the subject matter of this show, where we try to bring a platform for the community to get word out about different things that affect the community, mm-hmm. especially our Bali audience and the Desi community. So we like to really change things up and get into the core issues that face the community. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, I received an email about H4EAD, which I know you weren't very familiar with, Larry.
No, I wasn't.
Nor was I. I've heard about it, and I've heard that this is something that affects a lot of our audience and our community. Mm-hmm. But I really wasn't well versed in really what this meant. So we were excited the opportunity to bring in an old friend of the station, Dr. Sam of Strategism. Strategism Inc. has been with us for years, and they've been a huge asset to the community. And Dr. Sam has quite a bit of insight on H4EAD. So, Dr. Sam, welcome to People Helping People.
Well, thank you very much, Greg, and thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to be here, and I would love to talk about H4EAD, its impact on the community, and how to deal with that impact.
Yeah, well, let's start simple, right? Because there's a lot of people listening that know exactly what this is and why it affects them. But there's probably a good significant amount of people that are like, what is this? Why is it affecting me? What is H4EAD?
Well, H4EAD, as it sounds like, employment authorization document, which empowers a person to work on an H4 visa. And why is it an H4? It's a dependent visa on H1B. So mm-hmm. typically, most people on this visa H1 are, you know, of Indian community, and they are software engineers. They work for Google, Apple, Yahoo, all these companies here in the Silicon Valley and all over the U.S. And their spouses, who happen to be professionals who have been working in India, and they're wanting to make their career here, get stuck, and were not able to really experience a good future here. So then this whole notion of H4EAD came, where their green cards were already filed and they were waiting in the queue for a long time. And can you imagine, Indians have to wait 10 years to
10
get...
10 years, I can't believe that. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. So then these folks were feeling completely neglected and isolated. So they figured out that, you know, Obama administration actually took this proactively and created a law that H4EADs will be allowed to work. Mm-hmm. So now the problem is that the current administration doesn't seem to really resonate with it, and they think that it is blocking American jobs. It's kind of hurting the labor market. So they are acting against it. So this is the problem.
So in other words, it's Trump's administration that came in and said, this is affecting Americans getting jobs, legal Americans. And yet people who have been here for 6-7 years paying taxes, as you said, the highest tax-paying community by ethnicity in the country, are not able, or he's trying to keep them from being able to get these jobs. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good perception, because the thing is that if you look at a lot of people who cross border from Mexico, right, and mm-hmm. just claim to have benefits in the country, claim for citizenship, they haven't really contributed much. But just by crossing the border, they claim so many benefits. And,
right.
And it's a political hot button because it seems like there are 12 million of those. and it creates, from both sides, you know, ripples into the political system. However, if you look at the Indian community, which has made a significant contribution, some of the CEOs of the companies, for example, Google CEO, Microsoft CEO, they are from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And Vinod Khosla, who's a billionaire, you know, so they are they're people who've made significant contributions to the society, and they are taxpayers, they are legal here, they're here for the last 10 years, and they're the highest tax-paying community. And they are not able to really realize their potential. They're kind of stuck in the limbo for a long time. So that's the current problem, you know. And the administration is kind of misconstruing, because if you look at the Department of Labor, it says that there's a shortage of STEM workers in America, science, technology, engineering, and math. And most of these professionals fit into that category. So they're not eating into the mainstream American jobs, so to say, per se.
So it's more of the portion of society that we don't, where we're not getting a lot of people to do those particular jobs, as you mentioned, the STEM community.
Correct. Yeah.
But I don't know if you feel this too, Larry. Like, is this a political issue we're talking about? And if so, what is the political issue? Simply that we're keeping Americans from getting jobs? Is that what the issue, the core of the issue is?
The core of the issue is that. These 12 million people who are from Mexico, they might be impacting the American jobs, because if you look at the labor market in America, about 150 million people. And right now, they're saying we have the lowest unemployment rate in 49 years.
Yes.
And about 7 million people are changing jobs. So you can imagine 1 million Indians are not even a politically important community, because, hey, first of all, they'll get their green cards and they'll vote after 5 years if they become citizens. So I think the community is not in the radar for the political system to really think about it and solve the problem. But on the other hand, a lot of people misconstrue that, hey, this is a political problem because these Indians are taking away jobs. I don't think that is true, because, as I said, 1 million versus the 12 million, and the contribution of 1 million in a labor market of 150 million people, where most of these people make six figure and they contribute 30% of that, which is $30,000 in tax money. And imagine a person crossing border from Mexico. Even if he works and makes $1,500, how much will he contribute? $100 in taxes.
Yeah.
So that's $1,000 versus somebody who contributes 30 times more in taxes, doesn't getting the due privilege from the government or due attention from the government.
How would you define mainstream jobs that are being affected? What would those jobs be?
See, if you look at mainstream in America, median income in America is about $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a family of husband, wife, and two kids, probably, you know, four people. We don't know these denominations change as you go across the country. But the mainstream is probably, I would say, working in retail, Walmart, or Safeway, or so retail is probably 60-70% of the market.
Mm-hmm.
So if a husband works there and wife works there, and 2,000 each is 4,000 is 50,000 times 12. So that's typical mainstream America, and that's about 60-70% of the jobs. So
Wow. That's
the mainstream market, and the community, Indian community, I don't think eats into that market. I would say probably 10%. 15% might eat.
That was my thought. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But 70-80% of it, I think, in my case, like, I came here to do a PhD, and I already had a master's degree from India. I was working for an oil company, Indian Oil, for 10, 12 years. So most of my friends here, they work for Microsoft or Google or any of these companies, and they're highly educated, and they contribute on the software development or IT or finance or doctors. So, the reason we come here, because we've achieved significant career advantages in India, and then we want to take it to the next level.
And you know, it's something we always talk about. How does it affect the community, right? And in anything we talk about, it could be domestic abuse, it could be diabetes, whatever. How is this affecting the community? And what can the community do and our community do to get involved in this, to help to get into the conversation about H4 EAD? What do you suggest?
Well, that's a very good question, that how does it impact the community? Think about it. Somebody who's intelligent, hardworking, wants to make a significant impact and contribution is taken away from the labor market, right? Is not able to contribute anymore. So yeah. Now he's sitting idle or she's sitting idle. And an idle mind is a devil's workshop, right? And it's getting mm-hmm. frustrated.
That's right.
So that might lead to increase in crime, you know, that might lead to loss of productivity of the economy. And from an economic standpoint, you know, you are not able to utilize the talent, the human capital of the individual. So I think the economy at large does not gain, loses a labor component or a unit. And for a family or an individual, it is very frustrating and, you know, the very dehumanizing because, hey, I can do so much, but I can't do because my hands and feet are stuck because of this H4EAD issue.
Yes, it's true.
And then what the community can do about it? I think community can really come forward and create scenarios and voice their opinion, take this through the national level. If the, I don't know if they can lobby or they can meet the congressman. I was talking to Ro Khanna, and I said this is the most pressing issue in front of the Indian community. And he should be able to voice this opinion in front of the Congress because there's a bill being debated right now, H.R. 392. If that comes into act, then this country quota will go away. And imagine if you come from China or if you come from England or any other country in the world, even from Nepal or Bhutan or Pakistan, you can get your green card in 3 years.
I can't believe it's that significant of
a
difference.
But why? Why is that?
I don't understand.
Because what happened is that they have this country quota. And they have said, hey, so many countries, so many number of green cards, so per country, this much. Now, unfortunately, for Indians, so many of them came because of this IT boom in America that there's a significant number. So their backlog is like 10 years.
So in other words, the quota had been met and surpassed. Now, all of those other people are just sitting here and work visas, correct?
Correct,
and they're waiting to get their green card for an addition. So it's almost like they've been penalized because we went over the quota.
Yeah, I mean, A, they are all educated people. Mm-hmm. B, they are legal here. 3, they are the highest tax contributors. D, they are penalized because they are not able to get their green card. E, their spouses are trying to do something, so they are being blocked and taken away from the labor market or being prevented to enter the labor market. And E, hurt the U.S. economy because when these guys work, they will contribute significant taxes.
Yeah.
Right? Taxpayer dollars will come to the U.S. economy. So it seems like the government is not really helping the U.S. economy with this issue.
It's also strange because, you know, the South Asian Indian community is the fastest growing in the country. So you wonder if it's growing at such a fast rate because, like you mentioned, all of these tech jobs, especially, that's why it's such a big, almost 500,000
people here
in this
half a
market,
million, yeah,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So because of that, so many people came here because of all the opportunity. And let's face it, the money that's being made in this market is significant. So it's worth it for people to come and work here. First of all, you know, it's beautiful. There's a lot of money here. There's a lot of jobs here. So is that boom, has that boom actually hurt the community in some ways because there was such a rush of people here that it's now almost penalized the Indian community?
I would say yes and no. And I would say yes because the people who are not able to work and enter the labor market, they have been hurt. Mm-hmm. But no, in the sense that their spouses who came here on H-1B visa, they are able to work. They may not be able to get a permanent residence, and that is really hurting them. But I would say partially they have been benefited because they got this opportunity to come to this beautiful country where, you know, it's a land of opportunities, and they have been able to utilize that and really achieve their potential. But the 50% problem is still unsolved. That is their green card status and their spouses being allowed to work.
All right. So let me reset for a moment. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Dr. Sam. If the voice sounds familiar, from strategisminc.com. If you want to check out the website, let me give you the email as well, because we have a lot more to talk about. But I want you to know, in case you're like, how do I contact him? I need to talk more about this. contact@strategisminc.com. You can also call 877-668-0004. I'll give that info again at the end of the show. I just wanted to make sure for people that might have just tuned in wondering what we're talking about. We're talking about H4EAD, and this is a big, you know, and it's, I was asking earlier, because it is voting time. You know, people will be voting and election season, if you will. And there's all these different topics on the ballot this year. So I was wondering if this was something that we should be cognizant of as we walk into the ballots. But you're saying this is already happening. It's really about getting the conversation so we could take this to the, like you said, you spoke to Ro Khanna, just speaking to people who can actually get this in front of Congress and make some changes. That's more where we're at right now. It's not so much like we need to go in and stop something from happening.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there's not something which we need to stop from happening, but I believe that there is a date from the Trump administration. They're trying to block this, and I think in December they're saying they'll take away the H-480s.
Okay.
So that is the hot button right now.
December,
which seems like 2 months from now.
That's very
quick. Some people who already started working will not be able to work. They will be taken away from the labor market. And some people who are trying to get into the labor market will not be able to get if this ruling comes through. So that is the kind of sense of urgency with this issue as far as the community is concerned.
Okay. Can you tell us right now the current status? I guess you say with the legal case here, where are we currently and what's the next step?
As I said, you know, currently it is going on. People who already got the H-480s are working with companies. They're making contributions to the economy. And people who are wanting to get their are applying for it. Mm-hmm. So that's the current status. But come December, you know, in about 30 to 60 days, this is going to change. If the current administration is able to get that legislation and revoke the H-480, it'll take away all these people who are working in the H-480 market from the labor pool, and it'll prevent the ones who want to get there.
Okay. You were going to say something?
Yeah. What do they propose to put in its place to fill the vacuum once they do that?
Oh, that's a very good question. So as you can see, if you go to the Department of Labor website, it says that there are more than a million jobs lying empty, and there is a huge problem. I work in the consulting business, and a lot of our clients keep saying that we need these developers, and we need these folks in this software and IT business, but we're not able to find them. So A, the American schools start producing them more. B, they allow people from outside, you know, to work in those jobs. So I do not think that the current administration has a game plan and a strategy to really replace those vacant jobs.
Hmm. That's been a problem. That is strange. But I know you're a man who can really advise people. I know that's your strength, and I've heard people talking about this for so many years. What can you do to help, like, let's just say the average person right now who is struggling, mm-hmm. who is trying to figure out what they're going to do? What would you do to help that average person that we're kind of pointing out in our conversations?
Yeah, sure. So see, I'm a technologist, and I have a company which works in the IT and software development space, and I'll be very happy, Larry and Craig, to help them in the career development. So I would say, hey, don't get demotivated by what's happening. In my case, you know, I failed 100 times a day, but never give up. Keep trying.
Only 100, huh? That's 300 for me.
Yeah, we'll talk about money.
So keep trying. And from our perspective, you know, get the right skills. Learn the latest technologies. Because if you're trying to enter the job market, things like Salesforce.com, Amazon Web Services, robotics, artificial intelligence, big data, you know, so some of these things. And if you're a beginner, if you're not from the IT background, then maybe project management, business analysis, quality assurance. So if you get these skills, you can hit the labor market, and hopefully, you know, if this problem does not precipitate and the administration continues with what is happening right now, then you'll be able to do good in 2019. We are almost at the end of the 2018. So right now I'm busy planning my 2019 and 20 goals, right? So I would say, don't give up, be bold, and make a big move in your career in 2019.
You think you can help, though. You really do, right? I know you've seemed very confident that you can be assist and really motivate and help change the scope of someone's career or the trajectory of their career.
Sure, I would love to do that, you know, and I am personally a coach and a mentor and a guide to a lot of professionals who work for, you know, the top companies here in Silicon Valley and all over America. Mm-hmm. And I would love to help the community in whichever way I can and make my contributions.
Do you see this becoming a bigger issue for the South Asian Indian community? Do you think this could get to the point where it becomes a real problem? Because as of obviously, when we go about our lives in any situation, until something really affects us, you know, you almost just think of it as an issue that affects somebody else, right? That's, it's like, this isn't my worry.
This is not my problem.
Yeah, it's like if somebody who's sick, right? Like if you're healthy, you're not thinking of what it's like to be sick. But once you get sick and you end up with a disease or something like cancer, it forces you to confront it and deal with it. Now those issues become your issues. Is this something you think could become a bigger problem for the community?
I think it is already becoming a problem. And if you notice the numbers in last 6 months to 1 year, a lot of people from the community has already moved to Canada. And Canadian economy is growing big time. Cities like Vancouver and Toronto. Are replacing Silicon Valley and New York. You know, so the talent is moving there, and the Canadian government is very smart. They can give them a green card in like 6 months and make them a citizen in 3 years' time. Mm-hmm. So that is happening, number one. Number two, a lot of folks are going back to India because I was reading an article on Wall Street that what they call as the reverse migration. So mm-hmm. people came here and now they're going back because the Indian economy is doing pretty okay,
yes,
and the software engineers, the husband and wife both work, you know, they can have a very good living in cities like Mumbai, Bangalore, Hyderabad. They can actually have two chauffeurs, three maids. So the quality of life goes up, and I'm seeing that already happening in last 6 months to 1 year, and unfortunately, America is going to lose the top talent in this race of talent because the next war is not going to be on oil or commodities. It's going to be on talent.
Right. Well, that's what I kind of look at right now is, you know, how many families have come here for that promise of the American dream, right? You know, you come here and it's, especially in California, it's sunshine every day. There's jobs, there's opportunity, there's good money. How long until that dream becomes muddled and you know, tarnished? I hate to blame any one administration for something like that, but we all know that the current administration is very polarizing in a lot of ways. It's made a lot of Americans that stand on his side to be very proud and put your flag in the ground and stand your ground, and then the other side is almost embarrassed for what is happening, right? Mm-hmm. So I always wonder how long until this sort of trickles and seeps into some of these other communities that are coming here for that promise of the better life, mm-hmm. and how long until they start saying it's no longer that enticing to me, you know? And I feel like that's sort of what you're saying. There's more out there. Maybe they just won't stay here. Maybe they go back to India. Maybe they go to Canada. Eventually it's going to affect us, and it's going to affect everyone, not only within the community, but in other communities as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, think about, as I said, that Indians are the highest taxpayers in the U.S., and they make significant contributions in terms of the patents, the jobs created. So I think that might get impacted if the administration doesn't look at it in a very positive and rational way than just trying to create a political hot button and address, you know, in a very immature way. So I think a lot of thinking, strategy, and care for the U.S. economy at large has to be taken. America is a land of immigrants, right?
Every one of our forefathers was an immigrant.
We all came from somewhere, and it's a melting pot, you know. So we love the country. It's amazing. We like the climate, like you said, sunshine all the time in California, the California beaches. And life is beautiful, you know. It's really awesome and exciting here. But I think the administration has to really understand in reality and with rationality and mindfulness as to what the contributions are and how to respond to them.
Right.
So it all boils down to your presence and how you can lobby that. Because obviously Mexico has a much larger, you know, presence here in the United States and what you do. Yeah. So how would you lobby for something like that? I mean, I think it all boils down to a good lobby.
Yeah,
somehow.
I think that's a very good question. And since I said this problem probably is about 1 million people, mm-hmm. and let's, the Indian community in America is about 3 million people roughly. And I would say the people who are waiting for their green cards or impacted by the H-480, that community is probably, in my number, would be probably a million, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine a country which has 340 million people, 1 million people.
Yeah.
How do they put their point across?
I know that's not
That's like less than 1%.
Yeah, it's a drop. Mm-hmm.
So if you are less than 1%, it is very difficult. However, we have some leading politicians. I would say Ro Khanna is one of them.
Yeah.
Kamala Harris has some, you know, roots from India. So I would really encourage them, and I would really challenge them, you know, and invite them. Mm-hmm. And I would like to meet them personally and take this point forward to the Congress. Lobbying, as you can understand in America, is mostly corporations,
yep.
right? And corporate power is where the mainstream is, 60%, 70%.
Right.
So there are some Indian companies like Wipro, Infosys, and Putney who actually got impacted, their businesses really impacted, and they are trying to lobby for this. I don't know where that will take us, but I think we need a better voice to be heard based on the profile and the demographic and the contributions we make to the country.
Right. Believe it or not, we're almost out of time. Larry, you always like when we come towards the end of the show, we like to just sort of bring it back to a central thought and a central idea. And I think it would be a good, especially to hear Dr. Sam's take and what he would have to say. So I'll allow you to.
Right. Well, Sam, it's like toward the end of the show, we like to ask our guests, if you were to leave a thought with the listeners, what would that thought be?
If I were to leave a thought with the listeners, what that would be, I would say, the biggest asset of an immigrant is their patience, their intelligence, and their curiosity. So I would say, stay with that. You know, you already have it. You took a plane and cross seven seas to be here, and you're already living your dream.
That's a great point.
So I'm a very positive guy. You know, I like to work with the biggest constraints you have and then come out successfully with that. So I would say stay with that, keep fighting, keep preparing yourself, get ready for the best future and make it happen than getting demotivated or demoralized.
Keeping it positive.
True.
I like that.
Because absolutely.
Really, when it all boils down to is, you got to keep living. You got to keep doing what you think is right. And I think the good thing is we want to educate. People need to be informed mm-hmm. and educated. And then once they are informed, they could take that information and do something with it. And I think you just gave us a lot to hold on to, a lot to sort of sink our teeth into. I really recommend getting in touch with Dr. Sam. Take this conversation to the next level, because there's each and every one of you have something different in a different case and a scenario that will probably be drastically different from the guy next to you. So contact@strategisminc.com is the email. The phone number is, you said, 877-668, right?
648.
Oh, I'm sorry, 648.
My
0004. So 877-648-0004. They can contact you anytime.
Absolutely, anytime.
This is a man who knows what he's talking about. He has a lot of amazing insight. Dr. Sam, I thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thanks very much for being
Thank you very much, Greg, and thank you very much, Larry. I really appreciate inviting me for this show and talking to the community.
It's important that we have people who are very informed and knowledgeable like yourself here, because Larry and I are really here just to sort of direct the car, steer the car. Mm-hmm. But it's people like yourself that are really going to inform our audience, and I think this is massively helpful and informative. So thank you again, Dr. Sam. Go to strategisminc.com, the website, but email contact@strategisminc.com if you want to talk a little more to Dr. Sam and really help yourself get along. Larry, anything you want to add before we get out of here?
Nope. Just keep on listening to the show. We're full of information. So
yeah, we'll be back again next Sunday morning. We hope you'll be here with us. Thanks for tuning in to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM.